Welcome to FemTech at Work, the podcast where we explore the intersection of technology, health, and women's empowerment in the workplace, hosted by me, Maaike Steinebach. This show will dive into the innovative solutions transforming women's health and well-being in the workplace. Join us as we chat with FemTech founders, industry leaders, and change makers who are pioneering advancements in FemTech and women's health. We discuss everything: menstrual health, reproductive rights, menopause, but also the challenges women face in the workplace and how innovation can overcome them. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting your FemTech journey, FemTech at Work is here to inspire and inform you about the future of health and wellness for women everywhere. Tune in and be part of the conversation. Hi, and welcome to this episode of the podcast FemTech at Work with today's special guest, Rungsatsa Tipawan, who is the amazing founder of Aira Concept. Hi, Rung, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here today.
Yes, I'm so excited for people to hear your story. So let's jump straight in. Tell me a little bit about your background. Tell us about the journey and how did you come to find Aira Concept?
Yes, so like most FemTech founders, I started the company based on my pain point, solely because of my pain point and the frustration I have in the industry because there's a lack of options for us. When I first had my period, I had it for 3 months in a row. Wow. Every day. I use one pad a day as well, not because I don't have the money to buy it, but simply because I don't know that we have to change it. Like, I just thought, okay, one pad, one day. This just shows how actually, there's such a lack of education within this space. And the only reason why I discovered that there was something wrong with me is because my swimming teacher told my mother that I've been lying for the whole term, that I was on my period and I couldn't swim. Then we found out that I need to go to the doctor. I went to the doctors. They put me on the pill. And then I gained loads of weight because of the pill and goes on from there. And this whole journey, I think, really left an impact on me. And throughout my whole during my education, I always had my period irregularly. I had period pains. I had to walk around with shame when I'm on it. I was constantly worried if it was leaking. All of this really made me realize that there's a lack of education. There's a huge stigma. And also, there's not a lot of options for women out there that could make it easy for us to access. And when I came back home in Thailand after my studies abroad, I found out that most of the products in the market are just all made of plastics. And then I found out that not only are they all made of plastics, they all have features that is so unnecessary and make me have a lot of allergies and rashes. That includes things like cooling sensation. We have a cooling sensation, but when I put it on, I felt a burning sensation.
Okay.
And then we had loads of perfume variety. And then that made me think, why are there so many features out there that doesn't really answer the needs of women? And when I look further, yeah, there are other options like cups and cloths. But in Asia, over 90% of females still use period sanitary pads because they have a lot of stigma around it. We were never taught how to use the other products and it became a habit.
Yeah.
And that's why I realized that, okay, I want to create a product that not only can tackle gender equality, but also sustainability. And that was the reason I came up with the biodegradable pads, because I thought there should be an option that is not too extreme of the other two ends. And also, what can I do that could relate to every female out there and its menstruation? And that was quite hard for a lot of people to understand in the beginning, because I was like, this brand will be more than just a period pad brand. It will be a movement. And people didn't really understand that. But
yeah,
I think I have proven on some extent that we have created that movement as well in here.
When did you found Aira Concept? Which year?
I remember really clearly. I marked it in the calendar. I left my job on 25th of September 2019. And then did a whole year of research on the product and launched it in November 2020.
Okay. But I think I forgot to ask, but tell me. So Aira basically has pads, which women can buy in stores, online? How did I find you?
So iRepheads started off during COVID, like I mentioned. Our first channel was our subscription platform that is custom built by us. And right now we also are available online in e-marketplaces like Shopee, Lazada, but we're also in offline stores in the big retail chain here, which is Central. And they have around 50 branches all around Thailand.
Amazing. So how is it going?
I would say we did quite well in the beginning, which means that we've really secured a place in the market for us. So I would say that it is going well, but it is at the point where we really need to scale it. We want to expand it further, not only within the industry, but also we want to expand our products and offerings. So right now, for example, we're really pushing for our B2B sales channels because I feel like we've already established ourselves as the number one organic pets brand within retailers. The fact that we're in retailers, the fact that we're selling on these marketplaces and we're like one of the top selling brands in the category shows that we've already achieved that. And now we want to expand into B2B and try to get more organizations to provide period care as a welfare scheme.
Yeah. And how's that going? Is that something that people understand in Thailand or corporates?
It's very hard because people are getting very good at, I don't know if I should say this, but people are getting really good at rainbow washing or like
just hair washing. It's called hair washing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's basically like saying that they are interested in it and then the budget goes into putting female in their ads, but that's it. And if you approach them with actual initiatives that would promote diversity and inclusion, then they're at a loss because, first of all, they don't really know why they should do it. How is that related to them? They don't understand how they could implement that, which department would take on board. This is a subject that even big corporates are talking, and it shows that there's a lack of understanding because we were in a lecture and a big corporate came out and was like, we're so proud of ourselves because we just reduced the amount of plastics being used. They sell like fresh fruits, fresh meat. And they're like, now we use like a biodegradable cling film or something. And we also improved our diversity. And now instead of using celebrities in our ads, we're using normal people to promote diversity and blah, blah, blah. And they were so happy. The marketing director was so happy about this. But then the student put up their hand. This is a university student. And they're like, I'm so sorry. Don't be mad at me. She's so nice. And then she said, number one, with the sustainability thing, why is it still more expensive? Like, why is the price still the same? Because the customers don't understand that making sustainability things means that actually it costs more money. And second, she said, with your diversity, I think that's rainbow washing, because if you really want to promote a diversity, then you should start implementing maternity leaves. You should implement better schemes so that everyone could apply to your job, to your corporation, and feel safe. And that's something that I think a marketing director has just lost because he realized that, oh, well, maybe this is to do with HR. I don't understand why you're perceiving this really differently. And there's a gap. You can see that there's a gap between the understanding of people already in the workforce and Gen Zs. There's a need within the organization. When we approach schools, there's a need from schools that where a lot of students are asking for it. But the higher-ups who are managing these corporations still don't understand how to answer their needs and just kind of poking around it blind, I would say. And this is what's really hard for us to approach them and make them understand that what we're doing is a very win-win situation. But then there's a good news as well where, you know, there are some corporations that are smaller with like young generation who are at the executive level. And these corporations are the ones that actually approach us themselves and we don't have to approach them. So you can really see that there's something going on here. And hopefully this means that in the future, there will be more and more people who understand this and it will be easier for us to implement these programs with them.
Yes, exactly. There is something to be said in skill in numbers, right? But so let's talk a little bit about the femtech industry in Thailand. Is it big? Is it small? Is there an industry? Are you a pioneer in this space? For our listeners that know nothing about Thailand, can you share a little bit about what is happening?
First, I would say that it is on the rise, but quite slowly. And first of all, the rise in femtech industry, I would say, is due to like the global trends. There's an increase in knowledge of women's health.
Yeah.
The global trends where everywhere, like around the world in the West, are really focusing on this now and understanding that this is a big market. There is more equality in the country now, and also there's more disposable income for female. And they want to spend on their health. They want to spend on their convenience and accessibility and affordability.
Yep.
So these are all the reasons why it is on the rise, but slowly. There's also more variety, and that's something that I'm really happy about, because currently you see a lot of menstrual care brands and there's not a lot of digital innovation. There isn't a lot on the variety of things, like menopause is still quite absent here in terms of solutions. But we're seeing more and more of solutions for like fertility, sexual health, and also what I'm really excited about is also like nutrition, how we can adjust our nutrition to match our hormonal health. So we're seeing more and more of that. And I'm really excited for all of this, because what I'm really trying to promote is the rise of variety and solutions for women. So even though we are like doing a brand ourselves, but we're trying to also connect founders together, make sure that they can collaborate and knowledge share, because this industry is so small and we're all facing the same battles. So why not help each other? And that's something I think is not an attitude over here yet, where a lot of people are already on guard because they feel like, oh, we're competitors. But to be honest, with that increase in variety of solutions, it means that we can all push this industry together. So I'm feeling quite hopeful. And hopefully we as a person and also as a brand, we are one of the pioneers in this space by showing people that sanitary pads is actually also attractive.
Yeah.
Sanitary pads is something that is a symbol for womanhood, and you should all start looking into women's health more. So yeah,
yes,
that's really how we see ourselves.
Yeah, amazing. When you started Aira, and I guess you told your friends and family you were starting the company, what was their initial response? And as you were kind of getting started, what were some of the challenges you encountered?
Like I mentioned briefly earlier, a lot of people didn't understand, what do you mean can create a movement? It's just a product. And why is branding so important? Why is your packaging so different? I don't get it. And my parents were really upset because I had a stable job, a good job. And my dad was like, you're quitting your job to create a brand and it's sanitary pads. How am I going to tell my friends when they ask me what you do? I'm so ashamed. They were both really reluctant and quite worried, but they know that whatever they say, I'm still going to do it. So I appreciate your concern, but I'm the kind of person who want to start doing it quickly. So I learn from my own mistakes, and I'm that type of person. So I did it anyway. In the beginning, my friends were also reluctant. I gave a lot of samples to my friends to try, and my packaging design mockups to them, and everyone said it wasn't great. The first time they see it, they're like, this does not look like a sanitary pad. So if anyone's listening and is curious, you can go and look at our packaging, and you would have to compare that to the current brands in the market, which is so colorful, full of flowers and leaf and all those things. But ours is very minimal, and it's because we wanted to create transparency in our ingredients and making sure that pads can just be viewed as another commodity that you don't have to be ashamed of. Any gender can buy it. So when we started, not a lot of people were in that keen. And that created so much fear in me. You know, I said, I'm going to do it anyway. But obviously, when no one believes in you, you're kind of worried. And especially when you've been doing this for a year, you feel like everything.
You get a lot of self-doubt, right?
Yeah. And I was doing it by myself as well. So no one to bounce back on ideas with. And when I was going to launch, I was worried that if I launch and it failed, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go from here? Which I think a lot of people would feel like have the same kind of feelings as me. And as soon as I launched, I did post my pictures and thing. And oh my God, the post went viral. So many people shared it. We had like over 10,000 shares. And then I sold out within 1 month. It was very shocking because it proved that there is a need in this industry, and it showed that I have come up with my pain point that I have other women have it too. I remember my brother saying to me very clearly, he was like, oh my God, I didn't realize women have issues with like allergies with pets. I was like, yes, but it's just because we don't think we can talk about it in the open. When you're going out with your girlfriends for a brunch, you would talk about what clothes you're wearing, what lipsticks are currently in trend, what you're using. But nobody, even best friends, we don't really know what pets the other one is using, yeah. even though you've known them for years, right? Yeah. So this is something that I think is a pain point that it has been overlooked for so yeah. long. But we saw a huge interest in the product. And that, I think, showed that I've gone the right way, that this is something that the public really needs. And there's a gap in this. And it proved to myself that it's good that I believed in myself. And
yes.
when we first launched, because it was so attractive, like so many people were interested in it. There was a lot of engagement in the comment section. So we had a lot of media contacting us. So we raised a lot of awareness through this. And then we had a lot of people talking about it on Twitter, on social media. But I was really lucky to have the ball rolling in a way yes. that I don't really need any marketing budget in the beginning because of that. So yeah, that was one of the very proud moments that we had. Yeah.
The highlights. So obviously it pays off to kind of do something different, right? Particularly if you want yeah. to penetrate and disrupt. So how important is your community today? Because you spoke about we are a movement. So can you share a little bit, what do you mean when you say that? And how do you work with your community of Aira fans today?
With the movement, I started basically with all the media, with interviews, with our posts. We always talk about gender equality. We talk about the woman's health, and our content pillars are range a lot, not just about periods. Because I found out that with me as well, where do I go if I want information on menstrual health? And I found out that there's no page that does anything to do with this at all. Women don't really, and girls don't know where to go to ask questions. And they're too shy to ask doctors and pharmacists. So that's why we want to position ourselves as a key opinion leader in this space. And we have created that. And a lot of people follow us because they would message us and then ask questions. We started doing a YouTube channel to discuss these things more. And we also partner with our corporate partners sometimes to have workshops and events like yoga to help with menstrual cramps and things like that, that would help our fans to engage more with the community. And we would like to do more of that actually, hopefully this year as well, as we have more and more partners and the network grows.
I think it's a great way to engage with your community. But has there been any kind of questions that you were surprised about, or is there a commonality in the questions that you're surprised about?
Yeah, so a lot of the times we still have comments, not even questions. Like we have comments about period blood being dirty and it's something that you shouldn't look at. So this just shows that with our content in the beginning, I thought, oh, and we need to get doctors in to write long articles, scientists, blah, blah, blah. But turns out we just have to start with very simple things, easy to digest information so that the public find it easy to understand. In terms of questions, we get a lot on sexual health, actually. Even though we're like a pads brand, we get a lot on sexual health. What really upsets me is we have a lot of girls messaging us. Their profile picture would be of them in like a school uniform, asking questions like, I took the Plan B pill, but I've still got a bit of spotting. Is that okay? How do I use this? When I'm experiencing sex, it hurts here. Is that okay? Is that normal? And all of these things, we would always tell them, we're not a doctor. And if you want an accurate information, you need to go see a doctor because they need to ask your history. And the timing of these things is really important as well. So we will always encourage them to actually see a professional. And it's hard because a lot of girls don't want to do that. And it's sad because it shows that instead of going to see actual doctors, they would come to brands. And what if it's a brand that want to sell them a product, then that means that's such a huge risk for their health. And that's quite shocking for us, I think. For me, for sure, I feel like instead of coming to me, I would just wear a mask, especially when it was during COVID, wear a mask and go ask your nearest pharmacy or doctor because you don't have anything to be afraid of.
So basically what you're also saying indirectly is that there's still a lot of stigma and taboo on women's health. So on the one hand, I hear that women don't know enough about their own health, maybe because they don't talk about it themselves. But do you feel there is also like a societal stigma still on women's health?
Yeah, well, with periods, for sure. I think periods is something that many countries in Asia have a stigma around. And we're a Buddhist country. So do you know that we can't touch monks? Because we're just a female. And we have to give seats to monks and we can't touch monks. And if the monk knock into us, they're like, why did you touch him? And I'm like, so there is a better gender equality compared to some other countries in Asia. But there are still, society still has the kind of gender roles and gender perception. And they believe that your own health should be taken care of by you. You manage yourself. I still remember getting a lot of hate speech when I started doing this. A lot of people saying horrible things to us online. When I was doing YouTube as well, especially. So I would get like, people like me would get a comments and I would be fine with that at that point. But sometimes it would attack a guest as well. And what really angers me is, why do you think this is okay for you to say? Instead of me feeling ashamed and feeling like I've been bullied by these people, why don't you feel ashamed for saying these things? So I really wanted to turn this shame the other way around now. And I'm not going to lie, in the beginning, during the first 2-3 years of starting this brand, I was ashamed. Sometimes I started speaking in media and a lot of people commenting. It does freak me out a lot because I've never done anything like this before. But what's really pushed me to still come back for more is the fact that I have people messaging us directly saying, thank you so much for doing these contents because I feel like your speech is really inspiring. I have struggles with this and now I feel like I'm not wrong. And all these things is the reason why I started the company. Not because of these online trolls that are saying horrible things to us. It's because of these people. So therefore, what we're doing is so much bigger than us. So we just have to keep doing it. And that's what really pushed me forward. But yeah, to answer your question, there is definitely still stigma around the period and gender and all those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, keep on trucking because as you said, being an innovator or being a disruptor is always very hard. But every comment that you receive that is positive already makes it very worthwhile, I feel.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, right? If we look at Thailand in general, we look like amazing medical system, a lot of medical tourism, a lot of focus on health and beauty. So it's almost like society kind of exuding, take care of yourself and health and wellness. I mean, how many people go to Thailand for the retreats, for all the amazing things that you can do? So obviously, I guess, as you mentioned, maybe it is the period care and the menstruation in particular that makes it tough. But you're also saying that a lot of other things like fertility or menopause are also not necessarily topics that people talk about openly.
Yeah, definitely not. Because I think with menopause, I think a lot of women who are going through menopause right now didn't even realize that there is any solution for them. So it's the same thing as many, like you don't know what you don't know. So my mother, for example, have like really dry skin. She suffers from like a lot of bone joint pains and all these things. And I'm like, there are solutions for that. There are things you can do. We live in a society where women tolerate and women believe that they have to tolerate. And this is the norm. There's just like my period care brand in the beginning where I mentioned, like, it's not because there is no one who wants it. It's because people don't speak up about what they want. And this is a huge issue because you have people like me who are trying to say, we need solutions for this. But the actual patients and users are too afraid to speak up. So it just sounds like I'm just an angry feminist.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I feel like I'm fighting so that future generations don't have to go through the same things that we do. And do you know what? They're not. They're going through things that are much better than us. And if anything, we should still fight. Because just like sustainability as well, you know, there are people who say that whatever changes we do now with sustainability, it will only show up 3 generations from now.
Yeah.
It will be the same with women's health. I feel like just because you don't see the difference now. Like baby boomers, like my mother, it's going to be hard for them to change their perception. But let's think about the future. How do we make sure that the future generations who are coming, or you, when you're going to menopausal stage, you will not suffer the same way as a woman before you? And that's what's really important for people to remember. You see all these things in medical care in Thailand being really advanced, but there are also opposing voices that says that medical care in Thailand has been too commercialized and we're really lacking on trying to really solve the problems and root causes, but we're going towards what's currently the trend, what do we think women want, or what looks good for the company, rather than really thinking about how do we have better care for women, how do we promote longevity and help women with preventative diseases and preventative care. Yeah. So,
yeah, that would be awesome if that would be more on the agenda across, you know, a lot of countries in Asia, by the way. So you've basically established a pretty awesome brand in the B2C space. You're expanding in the B2B space with corporates, schools, you mentioned as well. So where do you see Aira in 5 years? If I bring you back on this podcast in 5 years, what are you hoping we're going to be talking about?
I really want the brand to be so much more than just menstruation now. I really want to expand to, like I mentioned to you earlier, I think when I started the brand, this is the lowest hanging fruit for us as well, menstruation. And as the world is moving forward, and as I age, I realize that I really want more solutions in fertility and menopause in Thailand. And I would love us to be one of the main drivers to help shape the landscape and the industry in the future. We want to promote more partnerships within our brand to have other partners involved that can help us find these solutions. We want to be the main reasons that people understand what women's health is. We want to promote organizations to have an interest and a budget and prioritize women's health as well. When we talk about like maternity, a lot of people think Thailand's great because we have a lot of fertility solutions or blah, but in terms of maternity, it's like as a stage itself, I feel like corporates should really do more as well in this space. We still get people saying, oh, we don't hire women because in the end they would quit because they have a family. I believe that there's already gender equality because I think women have the same potential as men. It's just because their priority changed. That's the reason why they don't succeed. And I feel like a lot of people just agree with that. A lot of women are just like, yeah, this is just how it is. But I want to change that. I want to make sure that, no, why don't we create a system and a space that women can achieve anything they want. Fine, we can't have it all at the same time, but there should be choices where we can choose, okay, I will be a mother and a CEO because when I go out to pick up my kid, there's flexible working time or there's a childcare center in the organization so that I can be a mom as well. And that's something that is very new in Thailand, but this involves a lot of government support as well. And that's what I've been trying to do as a person by going to a lot of events and also talking to a lot of key players about why this is important.
Yeah, yeah, amazing.
I forgot to say something because I think a lot of people think, especially in Thailand, they feel like the aging population means that we have to promote women to have more children. But instead of trying to promote women to have more children, why don't you understand why we're not having children?
Yes.
And then tackle that problem, the root cause of the issue. And also, why don't you make sure that women are allowed to stay in the workspace and workforce longer? And to do that, you need to have better care for them in corporates. And this is something that I think a lot of governments are not looking into. They just think, okay, we need to have more children. But they need to look into, no, you take better care of your women so they can stay in the workforce longer.
Yeah, it's a real problem. I think across Asia, we have falling birth rates. And I think governments in Korea, Japan, Hong Kong, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam, everybody is looking at ways to incentivize women to have more children. And a lot of it is like monetary. We will pay for your housing or we will pay for different kind of services here in Hong Kong. For example, you now get a tax deduction for fertility treatment. But I 100% agree with you. I think there are very little governments that are actually going out to do a survey amongst the women and say, what do you want? And I think what women want is as we kind of increase labor participation and they're spending more and more time in the workforce, they want to stay in that workforce and want to be supported on their whole journey yes. in the workforce. And then having obviously supportive partners that are kind of seeing this as an equal partnership would also help. But it's more like understand what our needs are and help us be able to fulfill all our dreams. And that might yeah. include having children. It might include not having children, right? Which is also yeah. totally okay. Yeah, super interesting to hear these conversations because I find it so funny. On the one hand, we find Thailand so progressive. And then listening to you, it's like, yeah, okay, we still have a lot of things to do. And then particularly when you're on your own, as one company, you kind of really need to be strong, both as a founder, as well as corporate to kind of stand up to a lot of these things. So yeah. anybody interested in joining the femtech industry as a founder, what advice would you give them?
My advice for founders is to prioritize your mental health, because I speak to a lot of female founders in Thailand and a lot of them are just exhausted. You're fighting in the industry where there's so much resistance from everywhere and everyone. And a lot of times with female founders in femtech, they're like solo female founders with a small team. And that means that a lot of people are constantly going out there saying the same things, getting rejected, saying the same things, and then saying the same things over and over again. And it's mentally exhausting. And there's so much to do. You achieve one thing and you're like, okay, now you're on to the next. And you never really stop. And that's just something that I personally experienced. It's funny, I try to create like, oh, everyone's like into wellness. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'm just going to do this. And then one day I'm like, oh my God, now I need all these wellness yeah. retreats as well. Because I actually burn out without knowing. And a lot of women I speak to, some people actually left the femtech industry because
yeah.
they're so exhausted. They just feel so discouraged because every day, like I said earlier, you don't see the fruit of your hard work right away. And that is just exhausting. And so therefore, my advice would be celebrate small wins and also prioritize your mental health. Just make yeah. sure that you can keep going, because if we lose you, we lose a lot and we don't want to lose you. So if you are gone and if you cannot manage yourself, then that means all the work that you've been doing could come to a halt. And that's why I want to make sure that, yes, you're fighting for a woman, you're fighting for all these people, but don't forget to fight for yourself as well.
Yeah, amazing. Wow, that's wonderful advice. Well, Rome, with a very difficult surname, thank you so much for being on my podcast today. It was amazing to hear about the challenges and the opportunities and the great work you're doing with Aira in Thailand. So thank you for being my guest today.
Yay. Thank you for having me.
All the information about Aira and about Rung you can find in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe so that more people around the world can hear Rung's and Aira's story as amazing femtech companies here in Asia. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.